So if you would, turn to Joshua 1. Hallelujah. Yeah, I've only been sitting on this for a month now. Glory. That's all right. To everything, it's time. To everything, it's time. You know, there's sometimes when you get to just explain it, but there's other times when you just need to experience what God is doing. We've been experiencing what God is doing, and you can feel the difference in the atmosphere. You feel the difference in the hopefulness. You feel the difference in the conviction that's entering into our hearts. And that's the thing that is the testimony that needs to be set forth. Hallelujah. We serve a God that opens doors that no man can shut. We serve a God that shuts doors that no man can open. When God shuts the door on something, it's done and it's forever. And that's good news for some of us. Because when God shuts the door, that past is no longer accessible by the enemy. It's no longer accessible by those who have stood against you. And when God opens the door, no one can keep you out. No one can keep you out. No one can shut you down. No one can say you can't have it because He's already opened the door for you. And see, that has to do with what we're about to go into and what we're about to speak about, because God is opening doors. And He's taking some other doors that were open and He's putting them closed and said, it's done. It's forever. And we're with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to look at Joshua here because see, in Joshua, it's such a, there's so much revelation, such a symbolism in these chapters. In the first six chapters there, it's such a symbolism of where we're at. There's a great parallel, a prophetic picture that he writes, that he explains here a lot of what we're walking through. And so I want to just release that both as a prophetic statement and as a testimony of what he's already doing. We've been talking about, Pastor especially has been talking about, learning to keep his word. Joshua was a man who learned to keep God's word. He's a man who learned to keep God's word. He says here in Joshua 1 and 8, this is the Lord speaking. So this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. So you may be careful to do according to all is written, for then we will make your way prosperous and you will have success. You'll meditate on it day and night. He's saying this word shall not depart from your mouth. We don't speak English quite like that. So we would say that you'll continually speak of these things. You'll continually hold and meditate and release these things. You'll continually make a confession of these things. Because see, when we understand it, it's something that we're going to continually meditate and we're continually release. Now we can begin to format it in a way that we see and understand. So this man, what I noticed as I read through there, and you'll notice it said right here, verse 1. It says, and the Lord spoke to Joshua. Over and over. As simple as that. Over and over in the first six chapters here, he's talking about, then the Lord spoke to Joshua. And every time the Lord speaks to Joshua, Joshua goes and does something. He follows through with what the Lord spoke to him. He begins to release it to the people. He begins to do and hold on to and do what he's been spoken to about. Six times in six chapters. And that doesn't even count chapter 2, which was just about the spies going into Jericho. Hallelujah. So, okay, it's just flipping there. Let's flip over to Joshua 5 and we'll jump into this thing. In Joshua 5, they've crossed over to Jordan. They've crossed over to Jordan. They've begun their journey in the promised land. They're about to go up to Jericho, the very first city that they begin to tackle in the promised land. But there's some business that needs to be tidied up. There's some things that need to be addressed that hadn't been addressed yet. And so this is where we begin to find ourselves. We'll go to verse 4. So Joshua made him flint and his knives and circumcised the sons of Israel at wherever that was. And then this is the reason Joshua circumcised him. All the people who came out of Egypt were males. All the men of war died in the wilderness along the way after they came out of Egypt. In other words, they've been wandering 40 years. Of those 40 years, there were only two who were still eligible to come in to the promised land. For all the people, verse 5, who came out were circumcised, but the people who were born in the wilderness along the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the sons of Israel walked for 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, that is the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord. Because they did not listen to the voice of the Lord. To whom the Lord has sworn that he would not let them see the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give, a land flowing with milk and honey. See, what happened here was there was reproach that came upon the people. There was a reproach that came upon them. And this, we're going to speak here in just a moment of circumcision. And the circumcision was not the reproach. It was the fact that they had this unbelief. The fact that they walked in unbelief, that they refused to believe the testimony that the Lord had given them, the command that the Lord had given them to go over into the promised land. The reproach was about that. And you look in Hebrews 3, he speaks of it, that he didn't allow them to come into the place of rest because of their unbelief. Now we see that God is about to address these things. We're about to address these things. Things are beginning to change. This is a very pivotal time in the history of Israel. In verse 7, and their children whom he raised up in their place, Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised him along the way. See, to be uncircumcised meant impurity. They weren't prepared. Those who were uncircumcised couldn't even come into the feast. They weren't allowed to come into the feast. Because see, this is part of the outward symbol that God was looking for to separate them from all the rest of the nations. God wanted to bring a separation between Israel and every other land, Israel and every other nation, so that he could say, these are my set apart ones. Now, today, we understand that this circumcision that was referring to, it was a symbol of what God is doing in our hearts. Starting in Jeremiah, he began to speak of the circumcision of the heart, the cutting away of those things that were unclean, the cutting away of those things that were part of the world, the place of separation that he wanted to create for each one of them. Now it came about that when they had finished circumcising all the nation, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed, I'm sure. And then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Today, HRC, I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. I've rolled away the reproach. Therefore, they call the name of that place is called Gilgal to this day. It's the rolling away. It's a revelation. What does that speak of to me? To me, the rolling away speaks of that stone that laid before the tomb of Jesus. And we have to recognize now, it gives us opportunity to recognize that we're not serving the Christ that was just hung on the cross and that was the end of the story. We're serving a Christ because the stone was rolled away. Because the stone was rolled away. Because the reproach was rolled away. Because there was a place where he could begin to let the resurrection life that was in him dominate the scene. Dominate everything else. Come in control of all that was such. And so this resurrection life was being released. It's a picture of that resurrection life being released to the men of Israel. Rolling away the reproach. Let's understand a little bit about what a reproach is. Do you know what a reproach is? Have you ever been dissed? You ever been dissed? Because when you've been dissed, it's a reproach. Okay? It's a dishonor, a disgrace, a discouragement. Okay? It's things like a disappointment. So when disapproval. So when these things are released, there's something that happens. It begins to set up camp and then it wants to attract other little things with it. And so when that dishonor comes forth, there's got to be something that comes back and brings the honor back into the situation. When there's a disappointment and there's something that has to bring back the appointed times into the situation. It brings forth the appointed time, which is going to bring forth the hope into the situation. Yeah. Sometimes it's a breach. A breach is that which allows chaos to come in. Chaos is given entrance through this place. When chaos is given entrance, then it means that the enemy has his way with you every time a certain subject comes up. So how do you know if you have a reproach in your life? What keeps coming back up? What keeps coming back up? What keeps coming back to you? Is there something that comes forth and brings forth a fruit of shame in your life? Is there something that brings forth a fruit of unrest in your life? Is there something that brings forth a fruit of separation or division in your life, or the chaos coming back? Because the reality is, in all of our lives, at some point in time, there's been some form of reproach that's come against us. Sometimes it was by our own actions. It was by our own sin. Sometimes it was by the voice or the word of another. But when we recognize that, we can recognize that God has a new way. God is looking to roll those things off. He's looking to roll those things back because He wants to remove the reproach from our lives. He wants to remove the reproach from our life. Sometimes the reproach comes just from relationship. It wasn't directed at you, but because you're in relationship. Families especially, the enemy wants to bring reproach because of the actions of one. And so he wants to bring a reproach and set it in place. That's how the enemy gets in there and causes division and strife. Through reproach. But you have to recognize God has another plan. God has another plan, doesn't he, girl? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes a reproach can just be in the form of a debt. Something that carried on from the past. Something that you're still carrying and backpacking from the past. This whole subject came up because LaRue called me one day on a Tuesday, a month ago, four Tuesdays ago. And he said, I can't be there, but I want you to just pray for them and remove reproach. Because he said, there's been a reproach and I now see it. See, it was something that had happened. Many years ago, there was a place of separation in the body, and that separation came from some things that were said and done while a group of people were painting the nursery up here. And it was okay, you know, I mean, things happen. And we love and adore everyone who's involved in those things, because reality is we're much better people because of it. Because, see, we wouldn't have pursued the things we've pursued to the depth that we've pursued it if it hadn't been for this. But that still doesn't mean it's not something that we don't need to go ahead and cut off. And what he began to realize is that this work that we've been doing, this rebuilding and remodeling of the whole nursery wing and the children's church and everything up there, the reason that God is having us take such a personal pride in those things was because it was removing the reproach. See, there was a reproach that happened in those rooms, but there's a reproach that happened because it happened in the seat of innocence. It was a seed that went forth. And it's attached to some degree everything else that we've done. What we've done there by recreating that whole thing and totally changing, even the walls are all different. They may look the same, but they're not the same wall. You know, they may be 4 inches out from where they used to be, but they're not the same wall. God has removed reproach as a prophetic act. He's removing reproach. See, it's really important because, see, one of the things that happens when reproach is removed is just like what happened with Rachel in Genesis 30, and you can turn there if you want. I think it's 30 verse 23 or so. We'll be back in Joshua, so don't go far. But basically, Rachel, when she gave birth to Joseph, she said, now my reproach has been removed from me. See, there's a birthing that happens in the removal of the reproach, Tina. There's a birthing that happens when reproaches are removed. There's a birthing that happens. The worship that we've been experiencing in this house, the upturn of all those things that we've been experiencing in this house, because the reproach was removed. I told you I wanted to give testimony, and the testimony you've already seen. If you've been here on a Wednesday night, you've seen the testimony. You've experienced the testimony. We couldn't even talk about it and share about it because we were too busy experiencing the presence of God in an unusual way. Because reproach is removed. Because reproach is removed. And God wants to do the same thing. He wants to have that same worship experience come to you in your life and in your family and in your situation. Because see, it's in the removal of those things that He can bring about His perfect will. It can bring about His perfect destiny. And we're going to show you those things in just a minute. This worship experience that we've had. Last Sunday was another worship experience. You've tasted of the fruit of the removal of reproach. But God doesn't stop this there. It's not just in the birthing, because that which He births, He wants to bring to harvest. That which He births, He wants to bring to fullness. So we'll read on. See, he was talking about the circumcision, and I want to get this one point in. Circumcision, because it was a reminder of their covenant. It was a reminder of their promise. It was a reminder of their promise to enter into the promised land, that they could have the land of inheritance. And you know what? Because they did not circumcise them, they lost sight of their promise. They didn't cut their heart away, and they lost sight of where it was they were going as they wandered through the desert. And I understand. I mean, I begin giving a word, and, you know, 2 weeks later, I don't remember what the word was. I didn't have 40 years. I haven't been doing this 40 years yet. But you know what? God is restoring the promise. He's restoring the promise. He's restoring the promise to your heart. And along with the promise comes the hope. And along with the hope comes the stirring and the anointing to get it done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The hardened heart is the most expensive disease in the world. Because it causes you to miss out on your inheritance. It causes you to miss out on the inheritance. And God's not willing that any miss out on their inheritance. Verse 9, he's rolling away the reproach. Now things begin to start happening in a fast order. We're here, folks. We're here. He's rolling away the reproach. Things that begin to happen and moving forward. Verse 10, it says, while their children camped at Gilgal. You know, Gilgal became a place where the prophets gathered. Just a side note for those who are prophets. They observed the Passover on the evening of the 14th day. They observed the Passover. What was the Passover for? Because there was a celebration of their liberation. They began to celebrate the liberation. This rejoicing that we felt in the worship experience has been a celebration of our liberation. That's what Passover is. It's a celebration of the deliverance. It's a celebration that we've been taken out of bondage. It's a celebration that we've been taken out of the place of bondage. Because that's what the spirit of Egypt is. It's the spirit of bondage. It's the spirit of the sweat of the brow. And we've been removed from the sweat of the brow. We've been removed from the place of bondage. No more in the standing in the place of addictions. No more standing in the places of shame. No more standing in the places of the past. No more allowing the past to define us, because we've been removed. It's been rolled away. That's why they celebrated. They celebrated a renewal of their access. A renewal of their fellowship with God, because once again, they had come after 40 years. They celebrated the Passover once, and then late 40 years later, they come to celebrate it again. And now they made it an annual renewal, an acknowledgement of God's place in their life. God's looking for us to have that renewal and that acknowledgement of His place in our life, because see, in that is the victory that you need. In that is the celebration. In the celebration of the liberation is the freedom that you're looking for. Because sometimes you have to begin to celebrate it even before it shows up. It gets better. It gets better. It gets better. Verse 11, and on the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. Verse 12, and the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten some of the produce of the land. So no longer the sons of Israel had manna, but they ate some of the yield of Canaan in that year. Hallelujah. They were moving from a land of just barely enough. They were moving from a place of subsistence into the place of inheritance. For the first time, they began to partake of the fruit of their inheritance. They were moved into the place of inheritance. The subsistence mentality is no longer good enough. It's no longer good enough. Just getting by is no longer good enough because they began to be able to eat from the fruit of the land. They began to eat for the produce of things that they had not. They received of the wells they had not dug in and the produce of the lands that they had not planted. They began to partake of houses that they did not build. God is doing something even in this body already. There's two testimonies of debts that have been forgiven. Debts that are forgiven where the people didn't even ask for it because the bank called up and said, hey, we're forgiven this debt. The reproach is being removed. The reproach of the debt is being removed. Hallelujah. Isn't it good? Hallelujah. See, this is a place of moving. The whole intention and the whole covering of Israel is changing in this moment. See, they're moving out of the place of barely enough. They're moving out of the place of subsistence living, and they're moving out of the place of being led by the external, and now they're being led by the voice of God. They're being led by the voice of God because Joshua, the Lord, it says, the Lord spoke to Joshua. And now, because the Lord spoke in Joshua, Joshua speaks in the people, and it's done. We don't have to have Joshua because Joshua is just a type of Christ. We have Christ already in our hearts so the Lord can speak to the Christ in you. And as He speaks to the Christ in you, then there's a release of the potential of the inheritance. I want to segue over here because I want to explain something here just a moment. Over in Joshua 3. I'm going to read verse 15. For those who carried the ark came into Jordan, and the feet of the priest carrying the ark were dipped in the edge of the water. For the Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest. The Jordan overflows all its banks all the days of harvest. And the priest dipped their feet into the Jordan. And what they say is that the Jordan had very steep sides. And at this particular time and season, it was overflowing those banks. The Lord commanded that He put the Ark of the Covenant 2,000 paces in front of the rest of the people. And that they carry this 2,000 paces in front of the people. And as they would step into the water, that the water would back up. Now that's great to say, but what if you're the man who's on the front of the boat? What if you're the man who's front and you got your staff and you're carrying it and you got to step into this water? And now it's a raging torrent. Have you ever seen a river overflowing its banks? I'm talking about, I've seen the Trinity River overflowing its banks where the place that we normally launch our boat was 26 feet underwater and it was fast. I mean, small boats would just get swept away because they didn't have enough power to stay in one place. And they had to go and make that step of faith to step off into something that there was sure death if it wasn't God. Sometimes we got to make that step of faith. We got to make that step to begin to walk into the land of inheritance. It takes a step of faith into something that might be death, but God. But God. So it's overflowing all its banks. Guess what? That means there's no more capacity within the banks to hold water. One year we went and saw, I went up back to Illinois where my people are from, and that year the Mississippi flooded. And we were in Iowa. We were in Iowa, and the Mississippi River was lapping the edge of the highway in Iowa, a whole state away from where it's supposed to be. When a river overflows, there's power to change the topography. There's power to change everything. And there's no more place for the water to go, because what it does is as it gets higher, it just spreads out further. But see, that's not what happened here. That's not what happens here. Look at verse 16. It says that the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose in one heap a great distance away at Adam. The waters stand up. It began to just pile up. It began to look like toothpaste out there, just back and forth, just stacking itself up outside the banks. Guess what? Water doesn't do that. Water doesn't do that. I see this as speaking of the Holy Ghost. I see this as speaking as a release of the Holy Ghost that's happening, because the waters are always associated with the Holy Ghost. And what God was doing was through the Holy Spirit. He was releasing a testimony. He says all the way back to Adam, all the way back to the fall, He was releasing a testimony that these are my people and they shall inherit the land. These are my people, and you need to back up, because I'm not causing even the water to back up. Can you imagine? You're at Adam, 10 miles away, looking at this stack of water that just comes up out of the banks and stacks up on itself. That the testimony of God, it said there was no more strength in them. The enemy is being prepared for your victory. The enemy is being prepared for your victory. And guess what? They were traveling east to west, meaning that they were going this way across here. And the water was traveling north to south, meaning that it was being released out of the right hand. It was being released. The testimony of Jesus was being released out of the right hand. The testimony of your victory was being released to the enemy out of the right hand, even before they got to the land. Even before they got to land. Hallelujah. The enemy was without strength. Flip over to Joshua 5, verse 1. Now the king, when all the kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan and to the west, and all the kings of the Canaanites, all your ites, who were by the sea, heard how the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan before the sons of Israel until they crossed. Their hearts melted and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the sons of Israel. Because of the testimony of our God. Because of the testimony of our God. He's releasing a testimony on your behalf. He's releasing a testimony of your inheritance that no man can stand and that no devil is going to be able to stand in the way. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10 and 1 speaks of when the sons of Israel crossed the Red Sea. They call that the baptism into Moses. The baptism into Moses. That was a baptism of deliverance. It was a baptism of celebration and deliverance from the land of Egypt, a place of bondage. Well, I see this baptism as a baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but it's the baptism of Joshua. And the baptism of Joshua is the baptism of inheritance. It's a baptism that releases destiny. Releasing destiny. As they went through those waters, they were baptized into this destiny that stood before them. The previous generation wasn't able to take the land, but this generation gets to walk into it and fulfill it, and we are there. We are there. Joshua was a type of your king and priest, and he began to administrate justice because God visited him. We're going to see that here in just a couple of verses here. Let's jump down to verse 13. Now it came when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, rather, indeed, I come as captain of the host of the Lord." Captain of the host of the Lord. And Joshua fell on his face and bowed down and said, "What shall my Lord say to his servant?" Jesus himself, face to face, came and encountered him. Came and encountered him. Face to face, he came into an encounter with the Lord himself. This is what we're seeking. We're on the promotion. We're on the parallels. And we're walking in the other places. This is the thing that comes next. The face-to-face encounter with God. The face-to-face witness to what He's doing. And see, there's things that are released in the witness because God's not releasing that witness just so you can pat yourself on the back and say, "Hey, I got to see Jesus." He's releasing it because, see, He's called you to be an atmosphere changer. He's called you to be an agent of change. He's called you to be one who will go forth and release the testimony of God. And you see that right here. Chapter 6, verse 1. Oh, wait a second. Let's not skip over verse 15. And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy." It's holy. It's always important to stay and keep focused on the fact of the holiness of our Lord Jesus Christ, the holiness of His presence, the holiness of His life, and the holiness of the inheritance that He's releasing to you. Hallelujah. Now, it says, verse 1, "Now Jericho was tightly set up because of the sons of Israel, and the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said to HRC, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and its valiant warriors. And you shall march around the city, all the men of war, circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days. And the seven priests shall carry seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. And on the seventh day you shall march the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall be that we make a long blast with the trumpets. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down. And the people will go every man straight up from himself.'" God, when He comes and He encounters with you, He releases the strategies to overcome the enemy. It's in this encounter with Him that there's a release of strategies to be one agent of change that He's called you to be. Back in chapter 2, we got to meet Rahab. I know I didn't go through there today. But when the spies came in, she recognized that they were from Israel. She saw an opportunity. See, everybody else in the city was quaking with fear for Israel. Everybody else in the city was not wanting to have anything to do with Israel. And they were trying to hide and trying to escape. And they're holed up in this wall, this great fortified city. But Rahab said, "These men are going to change my world. These men are going to change my world." She recognized Israel as the agents of change that they were, because they were going to totally redefine the landscape. And that's what we're called to do, is totally redefine the landscape. It's got to happen politically, socially, and economically. We're going to redefine the landscape by what God says. She didn't see it as a problem. She saw it as an opportunity. And because she saw it as an opportunity, when they came in and the walls did fall down, the only one of the city that was saved was her and her family. Those that she could keep within her room, within her private chamber. God has called us to the place we're in this picture. We're walking these things out. We didn't even realize it. And when I saw it, I began to look at it and I began to see how many of these things that we've already fulfilling and that we're already walking in what we're calling ourselves to by the word of keeping the testimony. And as we're keeping the testimony, we're drawing nearer and nearer to holding and obtaining that witness that He was wanting to release in us. And as we get to the place of holding and obtaining the witness, then He's going to release an agent of change. And because each and every one of you is an agent of change in your own environments. He wants to bring world changers. Those who allow His presence to be the thing, His voice to be the thing that guides Him and the thing that makes a difference in all the rest of the world. And today, He's making declaration to you, today I have rolled away the reproach. Today I have rolled away the reproach of the past. And no longer will those things control you, but today it is day to walk into the destiny of God. Today is the day to walk into the witness of God. Today is the day to walk into the place that you have as a world changer, an atmosphere changer. This is your day. It's your time. It's your time. Every one of us has experienced some level of reproach in their life. Love you, buddy. Every one of us has experienced some reproach in their life. Today is an opportunity. I want to pray with you and allow the Lord to roll out reproach. Allow the resurrection life, and there will be a revolution. But allow the resurrection life to roll through you. To roll through you. James 1 and 12 says this, that he who perseveres under trial has been approved and receives the crown of life. This is what we're after. Because see, there's a crown of life. We can try to build monuments, but there's something God wants to do. He says, I want a testimony. I want to have a testimony in Houston, Texas. I want to have a testimony in this place that affects lives and gives people an opportunity to change. So today we have an opportunity to receive of Him, to walk in this place and allow the reproaches, the debts, the disgrace, the disorder, the dishonor that has happened in our life to be wiped away by the one who knows how to touch you, by the one who knows how to bring His power to bear on your situation. Hallelujah.